I know a lot of people struggle making healthy choices during the holidays. Maybe you're one of those people. What are your weaknesses that tend to trip you up? Maybe you've developed some good strategies for maintaining healthy eating habits during the holidays. I think somebody who has is Sue Nitzke, Emerita Professor and Extension Specialist in Nutritional Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And for quite a long time now, she's been coming by to talk with us about healthy eating. And she's got some good tips to share today. And you may have some tips of your own, or maybe you have some questions. If you do, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. So welcome back. Good to see you again.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. Well, holidays are with us. What is it about this season that makes eating well and keeping up with the exercise so hard?
Oh, boy. We only have a few minutes, Larry. Let's start with stress. That might be something that you don't necessarily think about affecting your eating, but research shows that it certainly does. And in fact, a lot of people find that when they are feeling extra stress, especially the kind of stress that they don't have a lot of coping mechanisms for, that they find themselves not sleeping well, not taking care of themselves in many ways, including not eating right. Just being busy isn't necessarily going to throw you off the tracks, but sometimes just feeling a lot of pressure from different directions can make it harder to be good, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention the availability, the temptations
every
time
much
you turn around.
In the office, there's cookies and everything. It seems like practically every day there's something.
Yeah, and it's part of the holidays. It's tradition and all that stuff. So I think I'll be interested if any of your listeners call in with some wonderful tips. And I'll mention that this is a good time to think about, okay, when it's my turn to host a party or to make a contribution to the office array, what can I do to help people have some healthy choices along the way? The other day I was part of a meeting where everybody was supposed to bring a treat, and I brought a certain kind of dried fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's enjoyable, it's sweet, but it's not quite as decadent as a brownie or all those things that are often laid out this time of year, including boxes and boxes of candy. So just some planning will help a lot, and I do have some specifics to share as we go along.
Well, Norm in Wausau has a question for you, so I want to give Norman a chance. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Listen, I got a question. It always comes up when I'm looking at these recipes that you're supposed to use butter. And unfortunately, because of my cardiac history and everything, I'm supposed to use less saturated or hydrogenated fat. Is there any reasonable substitute for butter, like in cookies or baking generally?
That's actually a hard question to answer. It depends on the recipe. Generally, cookies, the butter or hard margarine that is a more saturated fat contributes to the texture. As you know, how if the recipe starts with mixing butter and sugar together and then adding eggs and flour and the other ingredients, that usually sets up a certain kind of a crumb texture for the finished product.
Okay.
And if you use an oil or a liquid margarine or a soft margarine, you might not get the same results. So you've got some choices to make. You can either look for a different recipe, or if you really want to make this one, can you make the cookies really tiny and just, have people take a very small portion as a treat? Because otherwise, I'd encourage you to try it with some. In general, we tell people that the substituting a soft tub margarine is usually very low in saturated and trans fats and a good substitute for butter. But you do have to be careful. Some recipes won't have the same texture in the finished product.
Give it a try, though.
Yeah, and another thing people do is to use part butter and part either applesauce or plum puree, some kind of a real thick fruit paste sometimes can help you cut the fat down in a baked good recipe.
Half and
you
half,
could try
maybe?
That too.
Mm-hmm. About half and half? Well, that cuts it in half, Norm.
Yeah, and depending on the flavor of the cookie, you might or might not want to go there. So you have to have a little culinary skill. But if you've got some time to try it out, I'd love to hear the results.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Suzanne in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I'm hoping you can give me some help with my problem. I go the whole day virtually making wonderful, healthy choices until the evening when the stress bubbles up, especially around the holidays, and I just almost without fail blow the whole day. And I don't know how to stop this terrible pattern.
Well, Suzanne, are you extra hungry in the evening because you've cut
not
back so
really.
Much? Or
well,
no?
maybe just feeling deprived.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of research that shows that trying to be extra good, sometimes you just get worn out by it. And like you say, when you're really tired and, feeling stressed and you just want a treat in the evening, it's easy to just give up the whole thing and,
yep.
grab a whole half a pint of ice cream or something like that. So what I'd encourage you to do is actually plan for it. So just say, what is something I can look forward to in the evening that's not going to make me feel like I've just ruined everything? If you like popcorn, have some popcorn handy for that sort of, I need to have something to nibble on, or, whatever it is for you, maybe carrot sticks for some person, maybe some kind of apples or something for another person, whatever would kind of cut that feeling of I need to munch myself with munch for myself with something I really enjoy, and, try some different things and see if that'll help.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, there are some desserts in some of the diet books and that you can make ahead of time and just have those around that are much less lower. Are they much lower in fat and calories?
And then
if you've got them, if you've made them and they're there, it's different than.
Well, that's true, and there are some people who say that if you're willing to go through the trouble of making it. Many times that shows that you really want it bad enough to eat it, so you should go ahead and enjoy it. For me, I actually enjoy cooking, so that doesn't work so well.
No, doesn't work in our household either.
but what will work for Suzanne might not work for the person next to her. And think of some timely treats. Like right now, pears are still good in the stores.
Yes.
And they won't be around much longer, so just a really nice pear is a wonderful treat for some people, or whatever kind of fruit.
Clementines.
Ooh, there you go.
I like
those little keys.
Judith loves
and all those. Yeah. So if that kind of satisfies that little craving for something sweet, then it's not so bad as maybe opening a box of cookies might be. So I hope it works for Suzanne.
Sue Nitzky is an emerita professor and extension specialist in nutritional sciences from the UW-Madison. Larry Mueller here talking with her today about kind of avoiding putting on all those extra pounds during the holiday season, like sort of healthy eating for the holidays. I hope you'll join. Maybe you've got some ideas or maybe you've got some suggestions. Sue has some and we haven't gone through them yet. But we will get to them. How about you? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. Oh, and Judith mentioned blood oranges. They're going to be here soon, and those are really good.
All the citrus start coming in December, and typical years, January and February, are great months for citrus. So, and some of them are really just delightful.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a lime tree, just by golly, that's starting to show all kinds of flowers on it right now. So I'm going to have some limes here pretty soon. Well, I'm going to be eating those, but it'll be a while, and you just don't sit down and eat a lime.
Not usually. At least, margaritas come to mind. I don't think you want to go there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, one thing, somebody was telling me they were trying to cut back on the amount of money that they're spending on their holiday. And one of the things they're doing is they've got smaller plates for the hors d'oeuvres. And And the idea is if you got smaller plates, people probably take less and eat less.
You know, and that's actually one of the things that I have on my tip sheet that I put out for extension is there's good research showing that if you hand people a big plate or serve their soup in a big bowl or give them their popcorn in a big cup, they'll eat more.
Yeah.
Because it's just part of how we look at food and how much is the right amount to eat. So, yes, everything from dessert to what's served for dinner to how you put out your appetizers. It's tiny plates make less food look like more.
And I thought, well, you know, it's not really being cheap. It's actually good for the people that you're having come to your house.
Yeah, and I always think, in so many ways, quality should trump quantity.
Yeah.
And if you're putting out a buffet, think in terms of, you know, have giving people, as I mentioned before, at least a few of those choices be something that fairly nutritious and not calorie laden. And the other thing is, you know, you don't have to eat 10 different things to feel like you've had hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
So, I think a few delicious and nutritious nibbles would be just fine.
Just an aside on the popcorn, and somebody sent a note on my Facebook page that said they went to a movie and they paid $4.50 to get into the show, and it was $5 for the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. So
paid more for the popcorn than they did for the movie itself. Maybe we can talk some more about that, Sunitsky, our guest today. And that popcorn definitely has some calorie and other issues associated with it. Sue Nitsky, our guest. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. Do you look forward to the holidays, but maybe you dread all the temptations that they bring? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. And whether it's a big cup of eggnog, a gooey Christmas fudge, or a Hanukkah jelly donuts, lots of excuses for indulging over the holidays out there. And add to that even less time than usual for exercise. You get in a lot of trouble pretty quickly. Sue Nitsky, an emerita professor and extension specialist in nutritional sciences, our guest till 12:30. Great ideas from her on how to make healthy choices while still enjoying yourself. She's happy to answer your questions when you call in. 1-800-642-1234. Leave a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's at The Larry Mueller Show. And click like while you're there. Love to have you do that. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. And we'll be back with Sue Nitsky right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nutrition, something we all deal with. Many of us struggle to make healthy choices. Well, Sue Nitsky's here. And here we are in the holiday season. Great time to talk about health, nutrition, weight maintenance or weight loss. She does a great job of explaining all that, and certainly ready and willing to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Sue, as always, great pleasure to have you with us.
I'm happy to be here.
And Judy in Racine has a strategy she wants to share with us. Let's see what's on her mind. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to share what a wise elderly friend of ours used to do. If you offered her a treat, like, you know, a cookie or whatever it might be, and then you'd go to offer her a second one, she'd say, oh, she said, that first one was so delicious, I don't know how the second one could taste any better.
Oh, you know, that's such a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that. And there's actually research behind the principle of what you're saying, or what your friend had to say.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Barbara Rolls and others out in Pennsylvania are experts on hunger and satiety and flavor perceptions. And they can actually measure, even now with brain studies, mm-hmm. how much pleasure you get from a flavor. And it peaks right after you have that first taste of the new flavor. And then, it's still good, but it goes down. So the first cookie gives you more enjoyment than the second cookie, which gives you more enjoyment than the third cookie. So if you can just nibble away at that first cookie and try to kind of really relish the enjoyment you get from that little treat, and then just distract yourself with either switching to a pair like we were talking about before, or just getting into conversation and getting your mind off of cookies, you'll be the better for it. That's a wonderful suggestion. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
And Judy, along with that, Michelle in Arkansas, Wisconsin, is married to a pastry chef. Well, I am too, actually. Renee's first training was as a pastry chef. But what Michelle and her spouse do to control their cravings, but to enjoy treats, is they just bake a couple of cookies at a time.
Oh yeah, you can put the dough in the freezer and just take out enough for two cookies. Good idea.
They can enjoy, but they're not tempted to eat so many, and that is the problem when being married to a former pastry chef. I think it would be a good idea if we did more of that.
Well, and even if you're not married to a pastry chef, but think of that when people bring over a big platter of cookies, or, if you have an occasion where there's lots of cookies around, put some of them in the freezer for later. Some kinds of cookies, especially those real buttery cookies, usually freeze quite well if you wrap them up well. And then, they're out of sight, out of mind for a while, and that mm-hmm. actually helps.
And if you wrapped them in smaller amounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have friends who do that with their Girl Scout cookies, too, because, you always want to be nice to their Girl Scouts, and then you got 10 boxes stacked up, and you go like, what am I going to do? And they freeze pretty well, depending on the variety. Most of them taste just as fine a month or two later. So that's a way of controlling the volume.
Thanks again, Judy, for calling. Appreciate it. And Kristen in De Pere, your turn. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Earlier we had a caller asking for fat substitutes, and I've played around a lot with that, especially with baked goods, and I think it's important to know what kind of result you're going to get. Like if you wanted to substitute a cup of like diet root beer in brownies instead of eggs or oil, you end up with a slightly sticky, dense texture, which personally I like, but if you don't like that, that's not a good way to go. For sweetbreads and cookies, you can use a sticky fruit like applesauce or banana or even prunes, but you do end up with a sticky, dense texture. If you want to eliminate eggs, you can take a tablespoon of flax, dissolve it in 3 tablespoons of water, let it sit for a couple minutes or so, but that gives you a crumbly texture. But I found out the hard way, if you try to take the flaxseed and try to counteract the crumbly with the sticky dense texture, you end up with a sticky dense crumbly product.
Oh boy.
Don't do that. And for fudge, you cannot substitute the butter. If you try to use one of those tub spreads, you will get chocolate soup.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's one of those things where you just got to break down and use butter.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Kristen. Some of my Extension colleagues have some really good publications about substitutions. And some of the, I've even noticed some of the culinary websites have some pretty good advice. Even a high-quality cookbook might. Cooking Light Magazine's website, I bet, does, and that sort of thing. I believe, Larry, you're familiar with eExtension?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a community of practice called Families, Food, and Fitness. An eExtention, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, is a national website where we share resources with all the other states. And there's some wonderful information archived. So everything from your local Extension office to the national eExtension website. And eExtension is not spelled eExtension. It's spelled little e, capital X, TENSION. And it's hard to find on a search engine because that ignores all the capitalization.
Yeah.
But if you put in Families, Food, and Fitness and e-extension, you'll be able to find that website, and it has a lot of great sort of healthy cooking information as well as nutrition information.
Okay. Judith might be able to find that, and we put it up. She'll have it up on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah,
we'll put it up on our Facebook page, and she's pretty good at that, so probably have it up in a few minutes.
Well, and since we're talking about making substitutions for fat, Judith also mentioned that coconut oil can be used in some recipes as a vegan alternative to butter or some of the animal fats that might be called for in recipes. Coconut oil is also a saturated fat, so you know your cardiologist might not be all that happy with that substitution, but it might work.
I did try cooking with the oil, and I can tell you they turn out wonderfully for a day, but they dry out more quickly, so just be aware of that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you like experiment in the kitchen, it can be actually fun to see what works in what recipes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of my friends love to do that, and some of my friends think that would be just a horrible way of ruining a couple of hours. So getting some expert advice in the beginning is probably a good way to save yourself some time and money.
Mm, yeah. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Caller Jackie wanted to recommend, she couldn't hang on, wanted to recommend the book Low Fat and Luscious for Delicious and Healthy Recipes. It's published by Better Homes and Gardens. Jackie said, don't we all want to be low fat and luscious?
Yeah, from so many points of view. But what I'll point out there is when you're using a cookbook, of course, you can look at the recipes and see how the ingredients fit what your dietary concerns are. I might point out, as I think many of your listeners already know, that when a processed food product at the store is labeled low fat, they're going to make up for that with something, and many times it's more sugar. So depending on the kind of product, just because it's low in fat doesn't necessarily mean it has more nutritional qualities. So
or it's
do a little label
calories.
Reading. It may or may not be.
Yeah.
You know, if it's labeled light, it has to be lower in calories. Or if it says lower calories, or there's some Food and Drug Administration rules about that. But still, some label reading can save you getting a product that really doesn't have all the qualities you were hoping for.
Yeah. Maggie in Salem, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. I have two questions. Someone just mentioned the coconut oil, and my niece had told me about that at Thanksgiving, but I noticed it has a lot of saturated fat, and she said it's a different way our body metabolizes that. Is that true or not?
Well, you know, I looked into that a while ago for a friend who was asking the same question. And what you could say about coconut oil, you could also say about several kinds of products that are high in saturated fat, like the fat in chocolate. Yeah, they're slightly different in the way they affect the way your body metabolizes cholesterol. But the commercial claims that I saw for coconut oil, I thought were ridiculous and way overstated. So I would caution you to look at the source. If it's from the American Heart Association or, you know, an expert medical group, that would be one thing. But when I was looking into it, 90% of the information I found was from somebody selling or promoting coconut oil. So, you know, please be a little careful about what source the information comes from. And yes, it is the most prominent saturated fatty acids in coconut oil are not as dangerous to heart conditions as some other kinds of saturated fat, but it doesn't get a free pass from me.
Mm.
Okay. Is the virgin coconut oil different than the regular? There's a great difference in price, I noticed.
Not to my knowledge.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
The other question I had about someone mentioned, I'm wondering about Earth Balance. They come in, it comes in a tub, but you can also get sticks that you can use in baking for people who can't tolerate dairy. But it does have a high fat content, but it's different from butter? Are you familiar with it?
I'm really not, I'd do the same thing that I would ask you to do, and that is take a good look at what's on the label, look at the ingredient list, see mm-hmm. what they're putting in there to get that texture and a mouthfeel and flavor of butter, and look at the saturated fat content on the nutrition facts panel. And, you know, if you still have some questions, check with a qualified nutrition expert, your physician, a dietitian in the area, and have them help you decipher all that information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. And thanks very much for calling. And you can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or a comment or maybe a suggestion, join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Open lines. Finally, 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there or email at talk@wpr.org. We had an email from Nichelle. Our favorite oatmeal cookie recipe uses a can of Great Northern beans.
Yep.
Drained and mashed, creamed with an equal amount of butter, a cup mm-hmm. of each. And she says the cookie tastes as good as if it was made with all butter, and the texture is not different.
I love that suggestion. I have seen recipes for brownies, and I've tried some recipes for bar cookies and things made with mashed canned beans, drained canned beans. And they've been absolutely delicious. And there's nothing more economical and nutritious than just canned beans.
Absolutely.
So it's got some extra fiber. Beans are high in protein. They just have tons of nutritional virtues. And they're cheap and easy to use. And I suggest looking for more recipes like that. And when you're thinking about what to put out for a buffet, that might be something people would enjoy without being too fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those, you know, those layered dips that people make that have a layer of refried beans or some kind of bean paste on the bottom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just a little bit of chopped tomatoes and peppers and maybe a couple sprinkles of shredded cheese if you don't mind mm-hmm. the cheese. You know, people can dip into that for quite a while before they even get to 100 calories. So that's something to think about.
Would you repeat the extension, the e-extension site again?
It was... well, what you would search for is just put in the word extension and then families, food, and fitness, community of practice. It's called a community of practice.
Extension, families, food, and fitness.
Right, and if that doesn't work, put community of practice with it, and it'll come up. It's a national website.
Okay. We have, she said, Nichelle also said she had a couple of things. She recently enjoyed succulent brownies made with extra virgin olive oil that were delicious.
Well, you know, I was in Italy not long ago, and I got such an education about extra virgin olive oil. I was just amazed. Real good, high-quality extra virgin olive oil, which is actually hard to get in the U.S., mm-hmm. according to the people in Italy, can have a pretty olivey flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the recipe, you may or may not love the finished product. I mean, it's excellent in salad dressings and sautéing and things that doesn't use real high heat. But for baked goods, you need to think about, okay, how is this going to go with the other ingredients for the flavor? And as this caller found out, she has a recipe, he or she, that worked really well.
And I'm trying to remember, I interviewed this whole business about olive oil. We did a whole program on olive oil with a guy who heads a company in Michigan, and he knew. I got quite an education on all the different kinds of olive oil. It was really fascinating.
You know, and apparently the terminology of extra virgin is not all that regulated.
No, it's not.
So, you know, it can be a marketing term or it can be a meaningful term depending on how scrupulous the vendor is. And when we were in Italy, they even told us that some of the... You know, people who go to the orchard to get the good olive oil from the growers, if it's an unscrupulous seller, they'll give you last year's olive oil, knowing that half of the Americans can't tell the difference. I was like, oh my gosh, I even have to be careful of my olive oil. But, you know, we have lots of vendors. We have a couple of really good ones here in Madison, and I know there's one up in Door County, and there's some others around the state, too, who specialize in olive oil. If you really want to get into it, they have seminars and things, and you can you can become a connoisseur of good olive oil if that's your interest.
No, I'm trying to remember the name of that Michigan firm, and I just can't bring it up. But there are some right here in Wisconsin, so.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. And there are some healthy fats out there. We've been talking about fats as though they're not healthy at all, and they're...
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up, because if what we're talking about is healthy eating during the holidays, my first thought is keeping yourself in control when it comes to calories. And really, from a calorie standpoint, extra virgin olive oil next to butter, there's hardly any difference. Calories teaspoon per teaspoon or something like that is minuscule difference. Huh. So from a fatteningness standpoint, that's not it. It's more about how your body processes it and how you make your own cholesterol within your body, depending on the kinds of fats that you're eating. That's the mechanism by which some are called healthy and some are not. But and the quickest way to think of that is that fats that are solid at room temperature tend to have less tendency to promote cholesterol manufacture within your body than fats or oils that are liquid at room temperature. So whether it's extra virgin olive oil or the cheap vegetable oil off the shelf, you know, how it works in your cooking and your flavor preferences might be quite different. The calories aren't going to be all that different. The olive oil has, I think, a tiny bit more water in it. And the cooking results could be dramatically different. And the healthy effects on your body would favor the olive oil.
Hmm. Leo in Dodgeville. Hi, thanks for calling.
Howdy. I just want to say my wife and I have been Wisconsin radio listeners for 40 years. We went a decade without even having a television. But it seems that when these things come up, it seems what we really need to be saying is that all things in moderation. I cook professionally. The flavor is in the fat, good fat. I mean, real fat. I mean, I'm talking foie gras and butter and cream and things like that. It seems the key, the bottom line always on this is all things in moderation. My God, I mean, what we put over between our lips is what dictates a whole lot of things. I know there's other factors involved here, but it just seems if we just are moderate with what we use for our caloric intake, it's going to help us in 100 different ways, plus give us the flavors that we're really after in our foods instead of trying to substitute. And I appreciate, you know, that we need to do this, I guess. But, I mean, we have butter, we drink cream, and we're both, you know, underweight probably. I mean, we don't exercise aggressively. It's just that we don't eat a lot. And I think, I don't know, for me, from my perspective,
that
in the 21st century, in an age of that we have so many health issues that are impacting our health care systems and all of that, if we just
moderation
a little less, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, that principle is terrific. But unfortunately, some of the research that my colleagues in nutrition education have done shows that people don't really understand when they're violating that rule or when they're obeying it. It's kind of, you know, you kind of have a mental picture of not too much, but enough for enjoyment. But these days, I think, I don't know, I have some pet theories about how marketing has changed our perspective about certain terminology. But a lot of people do struggle with, well, what does moderation mean when I'm looking at the menu at a steak place, for instance? So, yes, the principle that you're saying is truly wonderful. It calls to mind Julia Child, one of my favorite episodes, where she said, well, if you're afraid of butter, just substitute heavy cream. I still laugh at that. It was like, oh, well, I guess. If it's, you know, if you're not going to, if it's a small treat and one of your choices are butter or heavy cream, but you know, you can go overboard in anything and violate those principles of moderation. But if you're good at staying within the boundaries of moderation, then that is one of the things that I'm advising people, is have just enough to give you some pleasure and then move on.
Call it a day. Leo, thanks much for calling. Sue, thank you so much. You'll come back?
Happy to.
Sue Nitzke, Emerita Professor and Extension Specialist in Nutritional Sciences, our guest. She'll come back and we'll do that again. She's with UW-Madison as well. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.